Imagine a practice that doesn't come to a grinding halt when you want to do something crazy, like take a 3-day weekend or, heaven forbid, a 2-week holiday. A practice where you aren't the bottleneck because every single minute detail of every case doesn't have to pass through your hands to be completed correctly. A practice with fewer problems and happier clients because systems and processes have drastically reduced room for error and automated away some of your most frustrating and tedious work. A practice that can scale in a way that works for you and your lifestyle, where you aren't having to reinvent the wheel with each hire or maybe not have to hire anyone at all. That's what we are building in Rosen Institute's law firm Flywheel program. You can find out more at roseninstitute.com/join. There's no magic, just a straightforward, step-by-step approach to build a system for building systems in your practice, and more importantly, keeping those systems up to date, getting buy-in from your team, and making sure that your processes are followed so that you aren't the one keeping all those plates spinning. Registration closes soon. Come join us at roseninstitute.com/join.
This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Raleigh, North Carolina, where we're in the second week of our annual visit. I've been eating lots, way too much, in fact, of North Carolina barbecue. I'm mostly eating pulled pork sandwiches with spicy vinegar sauce and a side of collard greens. If there's anything that I think of as local food to this part of North Carolina, well, this is it. And I have to say, it's delicious. After we get out of here, well, I'm probably going to need some sort of artery cleaning, but I'll tell you, I'm enjoying North Carolina and all of the barbecue, and I'm already thinking about our visit back here next year.
It's time for your tech tip. We need to talk about cell phone snobbery. For as long as there have been mobile phones, there have been ways to signal status and criteria by which we could ruthlessly judge others. Having a mobile phone at all used to be quite the flex. For a time, having a beeper was respectable. People assumed you were a doctor and might be called into surgery at any moment. That era passed, and they quickly assumed you were likely a drug dealer. I remember when my father, being the hotshot that he was, had a car phone installed so that he could stay on top of all those fast-paced workers' comp cases at $40 a minute or whatever the service plan was. By the time I was in college, cell phones had become more commonplace. I, of course, didn't have one, a fact on which I blamed all of my loneliness and misery. But I had a friend with an old Kyocera device that still required manually pulling out the antenna, which was worse than no phone at all. She may as well have been wearing a Scarlet A. Now, because mobile phones are such a mature device segment, we really don't tend to see breakthrough must-have features that allow us to dunk on our friends and families. Foldables are coming back, but they haven't yet become a status symbol. But one stigma has remained, the dreaded green text. I'll admit it, we Apple users can be a snobby bunch. When we blue-bubbled royalty see those green greetings from non-iPhone users, we tend to point and snicker. But there are bigger issues as well. We have come to expect a lot more out of texting. The actual phone is the least used feature of my device. I live in the messages. If we are among the upper crust, we enjoy all of our iMessage features, the stickers, reactions, voice messages, and free mimosas every Tuesday. But if we want to mingle with the down at heel, we have to use something like WhatsApp or Signal or one of the many other group messaging services, lest our conversation be relegated to some crude artifact of the Dark Ages with 160 character limits. And as a result, a lot of us juggle 3 or 4 or 5 different messaging apps for different assortments of family members, friends, and social groups. Now, those of you who have been using Android for a while are probably aware that when it comes to just messaging other Android users, you already seem to have all of those fancy features like high-resolution media, voice messages, reactions, read receipts, and typing indicators. That's because for several years, Android devices have supported what's called the RCS, or Rich Communication Services, protocol. A lot of us are still used to the terms SMS for text messages and MMS for messages containing media. Those are older protocols from the early 90s that are quite limited by modern standards. They are still supported for legacy purposes and as fallback protocols, but the new standard is RCS, which brings messaging into the modern era, and we all lived happily ever after. Except that Apple, of course, doesn't support RCS because that would make iMessage not as exclusive and we wouldn't have a reason to bug our brother-in-law about not having an iPhone. There have been a lot of services over the past several years that tried to solve the problem of giving Android users access to the iMessage protocol. And they all relied on essentially the same convoluted strategy, requiring that you have an iCloud account, logging you into a Mac running iMessage in a data center somewhere, and then relaying the messages back and forth. At best, this was clunky and unreliable. At worst, it was downright insecure, and some of these apps just stored messages in unencrypted plain text on the web. But some enterprising developers have finally figured out ways to interact with Apple's messaging servers using a little creative trickery, and they've created a way to send and receive iMessages using open source tools. And in just the past few days, an app called Beeper Mini has been released into the Play Store that lets you send and receive true blue iMessages from your Android device. No computer in a data center or iCloud account required. There is still a little server-side trickery involved, and Beeper is operating this as a paid service, but things like media uploads, message replies, and voice messages all work like normal. So if you are tired of taking flack from your snooty family members, you finally have a valid option. But if you really want to stick it to the man or just don't want yet another app, there is some even better news on the horizon. In a move that has surprised a lot of people, Apple has announced that in 2024 they will adopt the RCS standard for text messages. A spokesman said they had seen the error of their ways and wanted to heal the rift that they had caused in group chats. Actually, they were facing legislation and penalties in the EU if they didn't, kind of like the decision to switch to USB-C charging for iPhones. But whatever the reason, Apple will be adding RCS support in a software update next year, which means that plain old text message interactions between iOS and Android devices will get a big upgrade. High-resolution media, encryption, tapbacks, typing indicators, read receipts, and a lot more. One big security benefit of iMessage and some third-party messaging apps for one-on-one communications is end-to-end encryption. End-to-end encryption isn't currently part of the RCS specification. It's available on Android devices because Google encrypts messages inside of the Android Messages app, but supposedly Apple will work to alter the specification so that end-to-end encryption is supported by default and doesn't require third-party protocols. Now, to be clear, iMessage isn't officially coming to Android. You will still show up as green on the other person's iPhone. You won't be able to use things like iMessage apps or message effects, but this should go a long way toward making Android to Apple interactions more pleasant. And if I had to make a guess, may see a lot of us migrate our group chats from services like WhatsApp, Signal, Viber, and the plethora of other options back to regular old text messages. I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. Boring, it's powerful. In fact, in my experience, you can go further, faster, and build a greater net worth when you're a little boring. I'll give you some examples, but first, let me just say this. I love innovation. I love the allure of the sexy, new, and exciting strategies that we come across to boost our businesses. But most of the time, well, it's the boring stuff that works. That's what gets us where we're going. Now, let me just take dieting as an example. You will find endless big ideas about how to lose weight, everything from what to eat and how to eat it and what time to eat it and which medications to take and what kind of surgery to have and which books to read and which exercise plan to engage in. And I, of course, can only speak for me from my experience, but for me, losing weight, well, it's simple. You eat healthy food and you don't overeat. That's the system that I have used in my life. No bells and whistles, just being consistent, being a little boring, not eating very much, eating healthy food and not very much of it. Now, I know that saying that, it will offend some folks, and I truly do apologize. I'm sorry, and I may well be wrong about my opinions on this topic, but in my experience, having lost 65 pounds decades ago and having kept it off, well, it's the boring stuff. It's boring, but it worked, at least for me. And I'll tell you, being boring, well, it leads to success in business as well. Now, truly, I do absolutely love innovation. I love the shiny object, the new thing, the idea that's well ahead of its time. But still, for most of us, most of the time, I feel pretty certain that boring is best. Too many of us, when we get innovative, we get off track. We spend all this time and energy and money starting something new and interesting and different and exciting, and we end up with nothing. Now, innovation, it has its place, but too often we give up on the innovative project before we reach the payoff. Maybe we're not good at picking the right innovations. I'm not sure, but I truly believe that for most of us, most of the time, being a little bit boring, a little bit dull, well, that's what gets us where it is that we want to go. Let's talk for a moment about marketing. There's always a hot idea of the moment when it comes to marketing, and I advocate for some of them, things like chatbots or TikTok or going viral on LinkedIn, but the boring stuff, it works. It works great. Scheduling regular coffee catch-ups or phone calls with people in your network, well, that works. Yeah, it's boring, but it works. The real value of networking, it works. It lies in the depth of your relationships, not in the quantity. Yes, building a network, it's not innovative. It's a little boring, but it generates business. Another example, one-on-one meetings with your team, sitting down with each individual on a weekly basis, it works. Yes, it is boring. The sexy stuff, the high-tech collaboration tools, the company-wide brainstorming sessions on the digital whiteboard, the motivational speeches, absolutely, they are fun and exciting and innovative, but that boring, consistent one-on-one meeting with your team members, well, it works. That quiet, focused environment, that meeting of you with your team member, it allows for tailored feedback and problem solving. Team members are more likely to open up to you about the roadblocks that they're facing, the areas where they'd like to grow, the things they want to learn. You're able to get more done with that boring one-on-one meeting approach. Let's talk about software for a moment. There's so many great SaaS tools that promise so much, the AI-led insights, the blockchain security, the real-time everything. But the boring stuff, sticking to a few tried and tested software applications that everyone knows how to use, well, they get the job done. Too many tools, it leads to tool fatigue, where the shift of focus from one project or one task to the next requires you to spend a lot of energy managing the tools. When you keep it boring, when you keep it simple and efficient, well, the work gets done. I could go on and on with examples from management and marketing and technology and finance, but the boring, it gets the job done. It gets us where we're going. Innovation, while I love those shiny objects, we've got to keep it in perspective. It's often the boring that gets us where it is that we want to go. It's so tempting to go after the next big thing that promises exponential growth or extreme efficiency, but often the answer to sustained business success, it's found in the boring, everyday, run-of-the-mill actions that too often we overlook. These boring strategies and tactics, yes, they are not flashy. They may not be the stuff of headlines, but they are the stuff of results. So next time you're looking to spice things up in your law firm, maybe you ought to look in the other direction. Maybe you ought to consider doubling down on the boring stuff. Being boring, in the end, it may prove to be the most exciting thing that you ever do. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Raleigh, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there, I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.